So yeah, how this came up is if you remember back to one of our earlier episodes about Billy Bunter, you know, the old British show about the
Oh, yes.
the kid at the boarding school. I was like surprised watching that how similar it felt to Harry Potter. And it made me realize like, oh yeah, maybe Harry Potter's not really that inventive. Like it feels more inventive to us because in North America, you know, we don't have private schools and uniforms commonly. Where in Britain, obviously, I mean, Billy Bunter's from 60 years ago. And I was like, this just feels exactly like Harry Potter, you know? So it made me think, like, I wonder if British people, if to them Harry Potter was much less magical, you know, they're just like, yeah, he's just some kid at boarding school. He just happens to fly around on a broom sometimes. So I mentioned that to my friend Brad, and he's like, oh yeah, Harry Potter's just the worst witch. And I was like, what the hell is the worst witch? So that's what we're going to find out this week. What the hell is the worst witch? So I didn't really do any research yet. You know, I'll look up some stuff for after. I guess this is based on some books, and they've made a bunch of remakes. There's even like quite a recent remake, but this is a made-for-TV movie from 1986. It's about an hour long, and it's got Tim Curry in it. And apparently it's about, you know, a witch school. That's, you know, basically like Harry Potter.
Really?
Yeah.
So are we going to find out that the author of Harry Potter is maybe a plagiarist?
Well, I mean, there's been a lot of that stuff that came up that I don't think it's plagiarism, but I think that she did draw from a lot of common places. Like there's this comic book called The Books of Magic. The guy in it looks exactly like Harry Potter. Exactly. And it came out 20 years earlier. And even the term muggle. The term muggle is in someone else's fantasy book, and J.K. Rowling claims she never read it and never heard of it. And who knows, maybe she did, maybe she didn't. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I've always kind of felt that way about Harry Potter in general. Like for something to be that resonant with so many people, it's probably not that creative. You know, like for that many people to be able to identify with it, it's probably in its own way kind of bland. I think that is the case in Harry Potter. It's just school. Yeah, just some kid gets sent to boarding school, got crappy aunt and uncle, learned some magic, you know. But yeah, from what I gather, the worst witch is the same thing. So, well, I guess we'll see.
Okay.
And yeah, like I said, I don't know anything about it yet, so.
Are we ready to tune in?
Yeah, we'll just jump right in, and yeah, because since we, no need for a lot of preamble since we don't know what it is yet, and then we'll talk about it after.
Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Morning, Miss Cackle.
Good morning, Miss Hartroom. Lovely morning.
So yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say that idea that it's Harry Potter-ish. I mean, yeah, if somebody had said at any point in that, like 10 points for Gryffindor, I wouldn't even have batted an eye. You know, it would have fit right in.
I'm pretty friggin' corny, but I'm trying to imagine if I was a girl about the age of those girls, what would I have thought of it? I probably would have liked it as a kid. It's a standard story. The girl that's being bullied and comes to the surface and saves the day, and it's a pretty standard plot. But as an adult looking at it, I'm thinking, I don't know. It's pretty shaky. But as a kid of about, 10 years old, I probably would have liked it.
Yeah, I definitely can't claim that I had taste as a kid at all because there's stuff like Flight of the Navigator. We've never watched that, but it's awful. And then we did watch, what was it called? Out of This World was like an old sitcom about a girl who could freeze time. Like, yeah, anytime I go back to stuff I used to like as a kid, it's awful. So yeah, I have no reason to think I wouldn't like this type of stuff. But it is definitely, I mean, less appropriate for adults than Harry Potter. Harry Potter was a lot more interesting for a grown-up. This is definitely just for kids for sure. But it is extremely similar, although I do think, you know, it's more just that they're both using the same tropes, obviously. You know, this is just something that's common in Britishness. Because the first time I saw this, it was like the Dead Boy Detectives, it was called. It was a Sandman story that I read in like the mid-90s, but it was about two kids in a boarding school that I think they die and they're ghosts or something. Anyway, but it's exactly the same feeling. Everyone has their little uniform and their school is basically a castle. So yeah, I have no doubt that J.K. Rowling saw this when she was like 10 years old and it stuck in the back of her head. But yeah, I doubt that she was ripping off Worst Witch. You know, they're just both ripping off British, boarding school life. But seeing them both now, though, I mean, it is like, yeah, this really is like Harry Potter. It's extremely similar.
They also didn't put a lot of effort into special effects. I mean, it was pretty obvious when they were flying around on broomsticks that it was an overlay. The children actors actually surprised me that I've seen so many British shows with kids in them, and the kids have been fantastic. Their timing is right on. Like, they're just wonderful actors. They had some pretty top-notch adult actors in it who did a very good job and all that. But the kids, a little bit of overreacting. It's like they really hadn't spent a lot of effort into having the kids come off as, you didn't watch it and say, wow, those kid actors, they really held this thing together. I didn't find that in this. I found that it was kind of it was almost like they needed to rehearse more.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess also if we want to go with the Harry Potter comparison, I mean, like Daniel Radcliffe, he's gone on to do so many strange and weird movies and stuff. Like, he's definitely an actor, Yeah, it was also weird about this. I don't know what it's all about, but just that there were so many Americans in it was weird. So the main witch, Charlotte Ray, she was from The Facts of Life. Yeah, I looked her up because I'm like, she's not British, right? I mean, she was in The Facts of Freaking Life. No, she's from Milwaukee, which I guess kind of plays into her evil sister, I guess, had more of that kind of American accent. But yeah, the main girl is Firuza Balk. I don't quite know why I know her name. She was just really famous in my generation, but not for any one thing. She's just in a lot of stuff. But she's American as the day is long, and she was the main witch, Mildred. So that's kind of odd, too. Just, it was like a combination of a made-for-TV British movie. So like you were saying with the special effects, it didn't have a lot of money. But on the other hand, it seems like they did put a lot of money into Diana Rigg and Tim Curry and like famous actors. I don't know, a weird mix.
Tim Curry, who's Tim Curry? Like, why is that name familiar to me? Is he British?
Yeah, and he's the Rocky Horror Picture Show is probably the most famous thing he was in.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Because he definitely seemed to speak with an American accent in this thing.
Right, but he is English, though. But yeah, and I mean, it does have that kind of feeling of, he's been in a million things, too. But at this point, like, Rocky Horror had been, like, 10 years before. So it does feel like they kind of got him just to sing a song. Like, this was his singing a song period of his career. Although I was glad there weren't that many songs. When I saw that it was, like, a quote-unquote musical, I was like, uh-oh. And the songs did suck, but there weren't that many of them. So that was nice.
Yeah, they really only had three, maybe four.
Yeah,
three or four. That wasn't bad.
But I think my favorite character is Diana Rigg. I like her character's name was Miss Hardbroom. You know, like, that's another good example of, like, the Harry Potter names are quite on the nose, Neville Longbottom or whatever, but they're not on the nose like Hardbroom for the stern teacher. But she reminded me so much of Alan Rickman, of Professor Snape in Harry Potter. And I think that's just, those are always the most fun characters in any of these stories, the hard-nosed teacher. But I do wonder, like, I don't particularly think J.K. Rowling based Harry Potter on Worst Witch, but I do wonder if Alan Rickman based Snape at all on Diana Rigg's performance in this, because they could have been the same person. Like, it could be Snape's sister. They're exactly the same.
Yes, and the Charlotte Ray character, the headmistress, she could have been Dumbledore.
Yeah, definitely. Dumbledore, I should say, not Dumbledore.
Dumbledore.
Not that it matters. They're both very silly names, but
whatever.
I noticed that, though. That's funny, too, just that of the era this is from, that the books came out in the 70s, although I guess they're still coming out. One came out in 2018, but that it was quite a bit back. You know, if the lady who wrote the books, if they came out in the 70s, she obviously grew up much before that. And you can see it in the names that the main good witch and bad witch are named Mildred and Ethel. Like, those are some names of the past. No one is named Mildred and Ethel anymore. Like, that's, you know, bingo wings, you know? That's at the church playing bingo, those names.
Yeah, yeah, that's like 1920s, 1930 names.
Yeah. I thought it was funny, too, just one of those things that only has relevance in North America, but that Tim Curry was the Grand Wizard. You know, why wouldn't he be? It's a wizard school. He's the head wizard. That's a totally normal term. But in North America, the Grand Wizard is the leader of the Ku Klux Klan. You know, like, that has such strange connotations in North America. But in England, they wouldn't care about that or whatever.
The Grand Wizard was very reminiscent, too, of the Dracula-type characters. When he was singing and flying, I almost expected, like, him to open his mouth and to see fangs.
Yeah.
He had a very Dracula persona about him, as opposed to Warlock.
And yeah, no, I guess there's, it would be weird if we really did go on at length about the worst witch. Because even I did a little quick research while it was on. I'm like, oh, let's just see what I can find out. An extremely scant Wikipedia page, you know, like, they do keep making remakes of it. It was quite popular and is still fairly popular, especially in England. But there's really not much about it, per se. You know, it doesn't have the deep history or the lore of... Because even stuff like, I guess, that famous story about Harry Potter, how the book got rejected, you know, 10 times or something before it got published or whatever. Not so much with The Worst Witch. Just everything was pretty smooth sailing. It's not super famous, but it's famous enough. It's not the best, but it's not the worst. It's just a thing. But I don't know. It is kind of neat to watch it in... I mean, particularly that school, like, that does make me wonder how many private schools are there in England that are essentially castles. Like, it can't be coincidence that that keeps happening in these shows. Like, do they really go to schools like that? Like, that's kind of cool. Because, I mean, I guess we must have private schools in North America, but I don't know. It feels like a whole different, like, in North America, you send your kids there just because you don't want them to get shot. It's not like a weird boarding house thing with ancient parapets and stuff.
I think that there probably were private schools in Canada that are based on the British thing. Like in St. John, there's Rothsay Collegiate. It is a boys' school, private school. I don't know if it's still operating now or not, but it did in the, you know, in the 1950s, 60s and earlier. I don't know when it started, but they wore jackets, and each little school within the school had its own tie, and you know, they wore flannel pants, and very much based on this. I don't know if it would be as strict as these British schools. You get the impression that they are extremely, extremely strict. But also in Britain, they do have that, I was going to call it caste, but that's India. But you know, you've got the extremely wealthy, and then you've got the middle class, and then you've got the poor people who never went to school at all. Middle people went to public schools, but we call them public schools. And then the rich people, of course, when the kids were about 7 or 8 years old, were sent off to call private schools. And they lived there for probably 10 or 11 months of the year. And then they went home for the summer. Parents never brought up their own kids in those wealthy situations. The school brought them up.
I suppose that's one thing, too. I mean, I don't know much about the British system besides what I picked up from pop culture, but that is making me think how in the Dead Boy Detectives, it was a boys' school. And in this case, it's a girls' school. I wonder, maybe Harry Potter being a co-ed school, is that unusual? I wonder how often that really happens in England.
I bet that was unusual. Until you got into, let's say, the 1960s and 1970s. I imagine schools were very much either a male school or a female school. It wouldn't mix the two.
And I'm sure even just for marketing purposes, that was a pretty good move for Harry Potter because for instance, this Worst Witch show does very much center it as a girl's show or girl's books, you know? Like, I'm sure even if I was British, I probably wouldn't have read these because it would have been like in North America, we had the Babysitter's Club, for example. You know, you just know that's not my book. I'm supposed to go read the Hardy Boys, you know? So The Worst Witch does seem like it was one of those super gendered things. So yeah, it was a good move on Harry Potter's part to just be able to bring in everybody. I was surprised too, though, how easy Mildred fixed the situation here, because it was basically just that there was the headmistress, Mrs. Dumbledore. She had an evil sister, and Mildred, the worst witch, stumbles upon them out in the woods, cackling away and scheming. And she's just like, all right, I'll turn them into snails. That'll solve it. Because, I mean, so much of this is tropes, you know, obviously it's just kids' books tropes, you know, like these things that are similar about Harry Potter are just because they're that way in every kid's story. There's just always the rival who's the jerk kid. There's the hard teacher. There's this and there's that. So in the trope, though, you're supposed to think like, all right, I'll turn them into a snail. And then they catch you and they stop you and they capture you. And then you have to come up with a second, more clever plan. But not in this one. She's like, yeah, I'll turn them into snails. Oh, there we go. I turned them into snails. Ta-da. Story's over. I was like, what the heck? That was weird.
And strangely enough, the spell worked the first time she did it. Whereas earlier when she did it, the spell failed. Well, it happened, but it didn't happen. It didn't turn the person into the frog. It turned them into a pig. In this one, yes, even if there had been a, I don't know, if she had turned them into something else, not a snail. But she said snail and it became a snail. Yeah, pretty friggin' easy, right?
Yeah, that is just weird. I wonder if the book was that way too, or maybe they were just like, we got to wrap up this TV movie, because yeah, that just feels like such a standard thing that's supposed to happen.
Like even if she had turned them into something like something that could have chased her and then she tried again and it became a snail. But no, it became a snail right off the bat.
Yeah, no lateral thinking, no secondary plan, no clever solution. Just like, there you go, snail.
Like, let's say if she had turned them into hogs that were going to chase her, you know, something. But no, just snails. Snails. Okay.
I thought it was funny, too. I did like the cruelty of the teachers, which, again, is probably quite reminiscent of especially old school British teachers, I'm sure, were this way. But, you know, like when the kid gets turned into a pig partway through, the mean kid gets turned into a pig, and Mrs. Hardbroom is just like, stop snorting, stop all that snorting. And also when they're doing their little broom stuff and one of the brooms got cursed and these witches are falling out of the sky, like, oh no, all of the teachers who have already demonstrated that they have incredible magic powers, you know, they can teleport around and stuff, they just stand there and watch. They just watch this kid plummet to the earth. They don't even try to help her. And it's like, you got to assume that's just like, hey, that's how we teach stuff in England. If you you can't fly a broom and you fall down and break your leg, well, then you shouldn't have done that. You know, you won't do it twice.
Was it a TV series or was this a one-off TV show?
This version was a one-off, but then they did do a TV series later on, and then a more recent TV series even again just a few years ago. So there's been a couple of TV series, but this one was just one.
As again, thinking back, if I was a kid watching that, yeah, I probably would have liked it, especially a girl kid. Now, a boy kid watching that, I don't know.
Yeah, again, it'd be tough just purely because there's every character is a woman. You know, it's just weird when you're a young boy. It just makes you feel like you're not supposed to be watching it. But I guess that's the greatest compliment I can give Harry Potter, because I do think Harry Potter is quite wildly overrated. You know, it's like, it's fine. It's not amazing, but it's all right. But the biggest compliment I'd give it is that it's not crazy for an adult to read at least the first like three Harry Potter books. I'm like, yeah, these are actually pretty good. And then once it hits the fourth book where it's like 800 pages long, that's where you the reckoning happens, where you're like, do I really want to be this person? Is this really what my life's going to be that I read these goddamn books? But the first two or three are a pretty good time, even if you're a grown up.
Yeah. Well, I've always said the first Harry Potter book is excellent. But to me, it seems like she really put her all into that. Of course, she was trying to sell it. She really, but later... They seem to keep getting watered down. I don't find number two is okay and number three is okay, but they're not as good as number one. Number one is very, very tight. It's got great humorous lines in it. But as it goes on, it's like she's got to produce these things and she doesn't have the time to really put the same effort into it that she would have put into number one. She probably took years to write number one. And you find that with a whole lot of books that turn into series. TV shows the same. The initial ones are excellent because they've got to be sold and they've got to be really, really tight to jump into that marketplace. But after a while, they're like, meh, watered down.
It's kind of a difficult proposition too, the idea of like characters that grow up with the readers. Like, it's a nice theory, but I don't know how much that really worked in Harry Potter because they technically got older. But like you're saying, I think a big part of the first one, what makes it so compelling is that Harry's this tiny little kid. By the time he's like 16, I'm like, I don't care anymore. I don't care about you. It's a lot more exciting when you're just a little boy.
That's right. And you can accept the gullibility of an 8 or 9 year old child being kind of overrun by the adult world and being dictated to. But yeah, by the time they're 16, 17, 18, you're like, yeah, you know what? I don't buy that gullibility crap anymore. You're growing up, you know, take responsibility for yourself. The secret is in the child and the naivety of the child.
But all right, so there's another little piece, though, of TV history filled in that, again, I feel like everyone in England already knows what this is. But yeah, I mean, it is a little bit of a blank spot. Not that it's not at all popular in North America, but I literally never heard of it before.
Mm-mm, me either.
So yeah, kind of neat to just sort of fill that in. And yeah, and then if someone says like, man, Harry Potter's just a ripoff of the worst witch, I'd say like, yeah, well, sort of, yeah. But I guess they're both just a ripoff of British life.
Both of them are a ripoff of the public school system, and you need to review Billy Bunter. Everybody's ripping off Billy.